Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Pattison back again, yet again and again with another phenomenal episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. And before I get into my amazing guest this week, and this is truly a tale that is made for Hollywood, I want to talk about where I am as you listen to this podcast. I happen to be in the Himalaya. I am on Mount Everest. It is 2020. And if you want to follow the journey along, you can do that at www.markpattisonnfl.com. There is a tab on there called Everest Blog, and you can actually follow my little steps up and down the mountain. There's a really handy technology out there with Garmin that you can actually track somebody wherever they are. It's great for anybody who goes off the grid. There's an SOS button and other ways that you can communicate with the planet. So that's what I will be doing, and that's where you can find me. Okay. So as always, please go in and give the show Finding Your Summit a ratings and review, because it all has to do with popularity, and popularity I don't care about, but it does have to do with inspiring so many people who listen to these podcasts. I get notes all the time about how they were inspired because of the stuff that they were going through at that particular time. So please do that. It does mean a lot to me. And like I said, it does expose it to other people who are out there. Okay, on that note, let's get into it. Today, I've got an absolute, well, she's amazing, really. And her name is Shawn Richardson. Shawn, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, so, you know, we're going to get into this insane story. And just to give a little background, I don't even know how this exactly happened, because I've never met you in person, but I feel like I know you in person, and we are a kindred soul at some level. I think it was initially through Facebook, and just because both of us have such a love of the mountains, and we've had some crossover, not only in the mountain, but also in life's journey. And, you know, as I was thinking more about all this and what your life has been, and we all go through things, right? It's just a matter of, you know, the severity of what that. And as I was thinking about this, you know, to me, you have really stepped in to the fear to realize your greatness. And at the end of it, trail, you've really become a force. And I'm so happy for you, because, you know, we all fall over and we all have to get up. And it's really about what you decide to do with that. And so I want to open with that, and then we're going to get into this crazy story. But from the standpoint of, for you, stepping into the fear, and then, you know, we're going to go kind of high level and dig in here. But from stepping into the fear, so many people, that's the hardest step. And yeah, and we'll, again, we're going to get into your story here in a minute. But at a high level, what was the one trigger that allowed you to step into that and say, you know what, enough's enough, and I'm going to do something about it?
Well, that's a great question. Three things come to mind. There were kind of three moments where very significant decisions were made, and I remember them very clearly. One was, so I went through a very difficult divorce, and a divorce I didn't ask for. And I'm sure we're going to get into that a little bit, because it's very much a part of my story. But I was trying to repair and prevent the divorce from happening. And there was a very clear moment when I made the decision to not protect the marriage, but protect myself and my children. And so that was a clear decision. I think a lot of people may face that moment when they're trying to prevent a divorce from happening. And there's that moment when they say, you know, okay, the divorce is going to happen and I must think and make my decisions accordingly. So that was a moment. Another moment was, so very much part of my healing through that process and my discovery of who I really was as a not being a wife and not being a mom, moving into the empty nesting years. A lot of that discovery happened for me in the mountains. I'm a big mountain climber like you. And so I grew up in Montana and climbed a lot in my college years, but then stopped all throughout my marriage. And after my divorce, I ran into an opportunity to climb Whitney. And I just did it just to, I don't know, get back into the mountains and no particular drive, just to pursue the experience. And got on the summit and I stood up there and I was reminded after 25 years or however long it had been, how great it is, how amazing it feels to be on the top of a mountain. And I said, why aren't I doing this all the time? I don't have to ask anyone, or I can just do this as I want. So that was a clear moment, because I went on to do a lot of climbing after that. I still am. And that, as I said, those trips, that time in the mountains is incredibly, incredibly important soul food for me. The third moment was one particular night so I've studied spiritual psychology in LA for 3 years. Yep. And the very first night of my very first class, the teacher said basically that no one, you know, that we're all divine souls using a human experience for our learning, and that everything happens for us, not to us. And that, in fact, we've chosen these experiences for our learning. And it was that whole framing, the reframing, moving from victim consciousness, I'm here to heal from a divorce, into, well, how is this happening for me? What is my opportunity here? Moving into empowerment. And that night was the moment I drove home and I said, I can build whatever life I want for myself. And I set out to do that. And I have been doing that. And so those were three significant moments I clearly remember.
That's awesome. All right. So let's go back to your marriage. And again, you and I have a very, we parallel in some ways. You were married for over 23 years. I was married for 24. I was with my ex for 30, and you're for however long. And you end up, you know, so like a lot of marriages, you dig in, you have this partnership, and you decide to create a family, right? And so with that family is you start to have, I think, three boys, and, you know, life gets really crazy, right? And you think that you're well on your way. You marry a very successful guy. Mm-hmm. He goes to Harvard, comes out running a hedge fund. You know, especially back in the day, these hedge fund guys were going berserk and making a whole lot of money, because essentially you can invest in anything you want to. There's no regulations around that, right? And so off he goes. And then all of a sudden, 2008 happens, and just all next thing you know, what shows up at your doorstep?
So he was young and had a very large fund, and he was very good at what he did. And we had a big, beautiful life here in our community with our three sons. And so 2008 comes and really decimated his fund and our capital. Of course, we were invested in the fund as well as many other funds. And ultimately, you know, long story short, he had to unwind that fund. And he was out of business, really. And that was a devastating experience for him, for both of us, because we knew so many of the clients who had lost money, and we had lost money. And he just, it was just a hard recovery process for him. It was years. I don't think he did recover, actually, from the disappointment and the, I guess, shame maybe of that experience. But so years later...
Well, hold on. Before you go there, years later, yeah. I want to go back to that moment, though. Okay.
Okay.
And as a woman, okay, mm-hmm. And as, and I'm making this assumption, this leap, and I'm sure you're involved in different things, but, you know, stay at home mom and involved in a lot of different things, school activities and everything else that goes along with that. Right. And I think so much of the time on the female side, and this is what I love about women, is that this whole nesting, you know, it's just very natural, right, for those types of feelings. And now all of a sudden that is threatened. What was that like for you, you know, when you're coming and you're in, he's coming home going like, look, we're wiped out, right? I mean, and you're not working. You're a very smart, talented person. I've seen your resume. It's incredible. seriously. I mean, it's amazing. And so you're very accomplished, but you know, somebody has to take care of the kids, right? And you can't just like put them out the pasture because they need attention and all kinds of different stuff and running around to soccer games and football games and baseball and all that stuff. So, but what did that do to your world? Again, you're still thinking that everything was going to be together. You know, you're going to fight through this fight, but you're like, you know, you have like this holy, you know what moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we had other assets. So it wasn't like we were completely without, but so, you know, I guess I presumed that, you know, I'm very resilient by nature. I presume that we would reinvent whatever was going to come next. I mean, we're both very educated, very talented people. So of course, we're going to build something else, but that never happened. Meanwhile, I founded a school here with a group of people, a very successful middle school and high school. Yeah. And that was a 10-year experience of my life. And it's a very well-known school here.
And when you say here, where is here?
Oh, in the school is in Carlsbad, California.
Carlsbad, California. Okay. Yeah. So Southern California.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
So that we, you know, that all that rate, that founding of that school was from the idea over a cup of coffee to full execution. And we did that in about 4 years, I guess we launched it. So I met a lot of people, proved a lot of value in that 10 years, and that led to certain opportunities afterwards. And so the timing of all of this, I give you that background because my ex-husband was going through, my husband at the time, was going through that experience at the same time that I was completing my 10 years working on this school. We termed out at 10 years. So I had all these opportunities and I said, of course, what a partner does is they help, you know, they help. So just even from a psychological point of view, I didn't know, I'd been out of the workforce for so long. I didn't know if I could earn any money really that was going to make a big difference. Yeah. But psychologically, I knew it would be a huge comfort to him to know that I'm helping. So I started working. And that was the beginning of my second paid career, because I took the period of time off in between raising our three boys and founding that school. I was not paid during that time, of course. I mean, we had to pay actually significant money to the school to get it launched. But anyway, I pitched in to help was my reaction in that moment. And I don't know that I was so scared at that point. Fear came in when the divorce came.
Yeah. You know, so like newsflash on the guy side, right? So women want security in terms of having that nest protected, right? And on the guy side, no matter what happens, what we want is we want respect. That's the number one thing. Mm-hmm. And if somebody is respected, then they can go a long way in the drive that they want to do, knowing that that person is standing behind them and that respect that his woman, anybody gives towards that person. And that's what I think helps fuel, you know, that you're not going to give up. And when that goes away, you know, everything, you know, goes south. So it's awesome that, you know, you stuck by there and, you know, you said, look, I'm going to do what I can to pitch in and help as much as I possibly can as we're trying to, as you said, reinvent your new lives together.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. So now all of a sudden, your hubby decides to take a road trip and he's going to Thailand, right?
So my ex-husband, still husband at the time. So now from that point, when I go back to work, it's now about 2013. So it's 5 years. We're still working on recovery. It's 5 years after 2008 has happened. And I'm just I'm not seeing it happening. No. And I'm not thinking about the end of our marriage, but I'm getting resigned to the fact that life doesn't feel so great. Yeah. So anyway, he goes on and we're still very married at this point. He goes on a business trip to check on some residual investments in Thailand. Oh. And came home and immediately told me that he wanted a divorce. And I was so surprised by this news. And and I thought that it would pass, that it was just a moment of fear or something, and a reaction that he was having, and that he would calm down in the following days and come to his senses, so to speak. Yeah. And it never happened. He kept saying every day, "I want a divorce. I'm actually moving to Thailand," he said, "to start a business."
Yeah.
And meanwhile, we still have three boys in high school. And I'm like, "You're moving to Thailand to start a business." And I'm like, "Okay, well, we'll all go to Thailand."
Yeah.
Anyway, so I didn't know really what was happening, but he was pretty consistent about, "I want the divorce." So that was the first week. And then the second week, I realized that he was on the phone in the late hours an awful lot. And my belief at the time, or I was led to believe, that he was talking to attorneys about starting this business in Thailand. Yeah. But that's not who he was talking to. He was talking to a woman he had met there. So a woman enters the picture, and is she's a part of the
equation.
The equation, right?
Yeah.
And that moment, I never anticipated. I've been married a long time. I never saw that coming. It never had been a part of our marriage. I mean, we had a monogamous relationship for 25 years, and never would I have imagined that was. I never even thought of that possibility.
Yeah. Well, you don't think about possibilities like that because you build up something called trust, right? And that, and that trust creates something called a bond, and that bond is unbreakable, right? And that's part of what the whole marriage unit. Yeah, and you have that, and that's what.
But it does break.
Well, it broke for me, right? And it wasn't because of any of those reasons. It's just one person wanted to be married and somebody else, but nobody broke any rules or anything. But you know, I think I think your story has way more drama than my story, but when you peel it down and you get down, you know, literally at the bottom line, you're sitting with the same outcome, right? Like, it still hurts. Mm-hmm. You kind of went, you know, kind of in a figure eight to get where you got. And I maybe went more in a straight line. I don't know, a zigzag, but you're still sitting there with these, you know, this whole notion of that, you know, this sucks. And now I have to reemerge and figure it out. And where am I going to go? And what's that look like for family going forward? Yeah. And, you know, in my case, you were still there with your three boys. And in my case, you know, I'm the guy that has to move out. And so it's just, you know, look, there's no fun way to say it. Life happens. And again, this podcast is not about sitting on these bad moments and this is like a therapy session. This is really is about, look, it happened. And so we have to talk about it. We don't have to, but we chose to talk about it on the podcast. Yeah. And now it's your reemergence. I want to go back to something that you said, because that was like this realization for you. Like, there's three chapters or three things that were really defining, right? Mm-hmm. One was your marriage, and just rather than like protect the marriage, now you're protecting yourself. That's what
there was that moment, actually. So I find out there's another woman involved. It's hard for me to even wrap my head around that or believe that, particularly the kind of woman he chose to leave us for. And I saw a very large transfer of money, six figures, leave our account and go to Thailand. And it was in that moment where I was, you know, WTF, yikes. So I got to get a lot smarter here, and I need to protect myself and my kids. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. So that was the moment. And, you know, I didn't even know how divorce worked. I knew nothing, but I had to, while processing all the emotions of what was going on, my children not knowing what was happening at all, not that anything was, they knew nothing about what was happening at this point. I also had to do the legal study of what do you do? How do you get, how do you get control of the money so it doesn't all disappear and, you know, all of that. So I had to learn about the early steps of a divorce process, and oh, it was just all a mess. So that was that moment.
Well, there's, I had this amazing woman, Kathy Elden. I'm on like podcast 150 now, and this was like podcast 15. And so this goes quite a ways back, and she's been through everything. She was, you know, her son was stoned to death in Somalia, and she's been through divorce and all this other, yeah, this crazy stuff. One of the things that she said, which has always remained really powerful for me, you can't jump over it. You have to go through it. And that's just the bottom line for all of us. You did, yeah. I did. And anybody who's listening to this podcast right now, yeah. Whatever your thing is, you just have to go through it and deal with it. And there's various stages from beginning, middle, and the end that happen. Sometimes it takes a lot longer than others, but we still have to do all that. But the thing that was really cool, and this is where our stories, again, are somewhat parallel, is that what you did is you retreated to the mountains, right? Mm-hmm. And you talked about climbing Mount Whitney and growing up in Montana. Where about in Montana, by the way?
A little tiny town called Havre.
Havre. I don't know if that.
Right, but in the center of the state, below the Canadian border, in the plains, Farmville.
Awesome. I built a place outside of Bozeman, Montana that I had for probably 12, 14 years, but but it's just really the whole concept of having to unplug, you know, right now as this podcast is being broadcast on my Mount Everest and my cell phone more or less won't be working. My emails, you know, have now stopped. And so I'm not grinding through. And so the clarity that nature helps give, certainly for myself, I'm an evangelist, and so are you, it sounds like. Yeah, no, it is really, I think it really helped awaken me. And when I, you know, I put up a big goal for myself on this whole seven summit journey. And so that kind of gave me the roadmap on where I needed to go. And then my energy and thoughts started to shift a little bit from this mess I'm in to something positive and where I could go, and then the planning and training and all the other things that go around it. And then once you're in it, and as you were describing, the peace and the serenity around how you can transition and start to see this new life of yours.
Yeah, absolutely. I so relate to everything you said. For me, the physicality of climbing and it is just a massive movement of energy. I mean, you are moving and processing so much energy when your body's traversing a mountain. And just that alone is an incredible experience. Anything stagnant in you, any feelings that are stuck, you know, they just get agitated and move. And so I also find that in the meditative movement, the step after step after step in the beauty of Mother Nature, just clarity descends in my thinking. I am so clear on my priorities. I'll leave any climb, any trip with, you know, I'll enter with a lot of noise in my head, a lot of thoughts, a lot of ideas, and I leave the climb with just three clear: my life is about, what I care about, what I'm here for. You know, our 1, 2, and 3.
And then
a ton of creative thinking about what I want to do with those things. And I just love the whole process. I love it.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Uninterrupted, because your phone doesn't work, as you know, when you're out there. So it's just you, Mother Nature, your breath, the moving of energy, the collaboration with your team. And a lot of times, as you know, you can't even talk to your teammates because you're on a rope and your feet apart. You know, lots of feet apart, actually. So it's just really kind of you in the solitude of the experience. And then in the evening, when you're back at your tent, there's that wonderful camaraderie. Sometimes that's even in quiet. Just, wow, what a day we all shared today.
Yeah.
So I love that whole process. It, to me, at the time, it was my source of healing. And discovering who I am as a person, apart from being, you know, a wife and a mother. And then now it's just soul nurturing. It's just, I just need to do it in my life.
Yeah, well, I do too. And I do it all the time. And I run up and down the mountain, as we talked about. And I moved to, actually, I mean, not that you can't do the same thing in Carlsbad, California. I've been down there, but I wanted to even commit for me to a different level and move to a mountain town at 6,000 feet, you know, so I could really immerse myself in that every day, which I do, which is this, that's what brings me joy and happiness. I'm not independently wealthy by any means. And so I have to work and I've got a cool job, but you know, I can only sit in a chair for so long before I go insanely crazy. And like you said, I would recommend this for anybody. Like if you're stuck in anything, just get up, get away from your computer, walk around the block, and it's amazing the creativity that pops in your mind when you step away from that screen.
Yeah, just go move energy. Go move energy.
Walk. So something else that you and I have in common is we both have a kid with special needs. So in my case, I've got a very beautiful daughter, 21 years old. Her name is Amelia. We had an event here in Sun Valley, Idaho, called Amelia's Everest, and the goal was to raise $29,029, which was raised successfully as we speak here on March 5th, a week ago. I'm very thankful and very blessed to all the people that contributed toward that. It was amazing. And out of that has come some awareness, and she's on a new medicine, and there's a lot of hope around what might happen. For you, you have a autistic kid. And that might have been part of the inspiration around the school that you built. Maybe that, no?
No, he, yeah, no, but go ahead.
Yeah, no. So anyways, so the just the parallel is that, you know, as we go through life, I mean, the kind of the anchor here of part of your story is that you went through this crazy divorce and this guy went off and is not who you thought he was and all this stuff, but kind of like to throw more at you on your plate. Of as you're trying to emerge and reinvent yourself is just having this ongoing concern, worry, whatever word that you want to use around having somebody who's autistic. And by the way, I heard him sing and he's a beautiful singer.
Oh, thank you.
America's Got Talent.
He's in a band. All the boys in the band have autism and he's the lead singer.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So tell me what that has been like for you.
So, Charlie, wow, he is something else, I tell you. So he's incredible. He's 25 and as one race, it is Charlie. He's extraordinary. So I think I've had very significant realizations and transformation around that whole part of my life in the last few years. And I actually think, because remember, go back to the statement when I said a big moment for me was when I switched my thinking from why is this happening to me to how is this happening for me?
Yeah.
And I believe part of why that happened, my divorce and everything that I've been through in my life actually, was to set me up for the new way in which I see Charlie and experience Charlie and know myself as his mother. And it is a way that I want to help others experience, other people who are parenting children with special needs, if they're interested. And here is what that was about. So when Charlie was diagnosed at age 3, he's now 25, there was very much a message given to me that I needed to fix him. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a very successful business. And the day that Charlie was that I was running and the day he was diagnosed, I closed down my business to fix Charlie. Mm-hmm. And nobody really knew what autism was or what you could do about it or what caused it. So I went into a big learning mode, which is my MO, and went to work fixing him, pursuing every kind of therapy, trying everything. We homeschooled. I mean, it was insane. And, I think a lot of parents actually are driven by that, you know, to fix. And I'm not saying that we don't need that effort, because we do. We need the effort, huge effort for cures and fixing. And at the same time, we need a great deal of work on accepting the what is of our life. So for me, when I was in that spiritual psychology class, and that line, we're all souls living a human, using a human experience for our learning and growth, and these experiences we've chosen for our learning and growth, I thought about Charlie, and I thought, wow, I had such reverence, first of all, for his soul. I know this may sound woo-woo to you, but it was really incredible experience for me. So I had an incredible reverence for Charlie and his soul, and I started thinking, why did his soul choose such a difficult existence? I was awed. And then I started thinking, I spent several weeks thinking about that as I was hiking and training for my next climbs. I really came to the awareness that, in fact, Charlie's not unhappy at all. He's a very happy person and the happiest person I know. And that all of the unhappiness that I was perceiving was frankly and quite truthfully unhappiness that was living inside of me. And that's called projection. It's a psychological defense mechanism, and it's when you take things that you cannot or will not accept inside yourself and you place them on others and you sort of fix them or deal with them by seeing them in others instead of fixing them in yourself. So a lot of this pain and difficulty I had imagined that I was fighting in Charlie's life was my own pain. And so I got to free Charlie from the responsibility, for God's sakes, of burying all of my projection. And I got to heal all that shit inside of me, if you will, and let it go and completely reframe the narrative of my relationship with Charlie. And that is the greatest gift he has given me, that learning. And I feel that he and I share this soul contract, that he is in my life so that now together we can go help other families change that energy. It doesn't, you're not in this war with autism. You're not in this battle. There's a great opportunity for you as a parent, and your child is here to help you learn it.
I love everything you just said. And again, our lives parallel in many different ways. And you know, again, I don't, you know, for anybody who's gone through a shift in their life, you have to be open, and you have to be able and willing to step into the fear of the unknown, because you don't know the outcome of anything, right? I mean, when I was going through my thing years ago, and this whole, there was no Amelia's Everest and fundraising and podcasting and social media. There was none of that. There was none on the board, right? But all the pieces ultimately connected by the time I got to this last rung to be on Mount Everest, right? And so I actually have shifted that paradigm from, it was a tragedy and it was awful and all this other stuff around the divorce, when actually it was the biggest gift of my life, right? Now,
right?
So I didn't know that at the time. And my ex is a fantastically wonderful, awesome person. But our warranty ran out for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And that sucked in that moment. But what I was able to do is somehow or another, at some point in time, poke my head up, you know, and get up and put on my boots and start walking and start marching up that mountain. And so now if, you know, again, these things, if I, and this is, I guess, a lot of the message that I'm trying to convey, which is, you know, action creates reaction. And if you don't take that step and you quit feeling sorry for yourself, and now what are you going to do about it? And then start setting some goals and projecting, you know, where life could be and creating that vision board. I wouldn't have been able to help my daughter the way I can today, the way you've been able to do with Charlie. And then the recognition of, it's not about you trying to fix him. Actually, he's fixed. It's about you coming to the realization that your life is well on its way, and just let nature take its course and accept him for who he is and go be the best version of yourself.
Right. Yes. He has taught me so much. I'm so open to the learning that he has for me. And I will often say to myself, you know, when I'm in the moment, I'll say, you know, what would Charlie do? And it kind of makes me laugh. Listen, I still have challenges as his mom. That's never going to change. There are those moments, but I just relate to it all so very differently before it was a war. And now I see this soul contract that I have with him. I'm just much more at peace with the whole experience. And I have incredible respect for him and his brothers. I love the relationship that he has with his brothers. He's extraordinary. And, you know, I was listening to you, Mark, talk a little bit about what you've been through recently, or, you know, sort of your divorce to now. And that this whole moment that you're having with Amelia and this fundraising and this awareness that you're bringing, which, by the way, is impacting her life too. You said she's on a, you know, new medication, et cetera. Yeah. You can sort of see what, from that frame of mind of how is this happening for me? You can see the whole incredible design of your beautiful life. Everything happened by design for this moment. Like it's almost like it's all been so on purpose.
I
you can see life that way. You can see
for sure.
Life that way.
Yeah,
and I so get that. I'm
yeah,
with
and you don't have to play in the NFL to go do this stuff. And you right, because no. Most, well, actually, none.
I didn't.
No, you didn't, and nobody else. Other NFL guys. So the point being is that, again, it's a collection of these great experiences that give you perspective. And now I'm sitting there when we did this event, January 3rd, at the Bigwood Church here. It was sold out. 400 people show up. And I've got these amazing people on stage, Jim Mora, Peter Cetera, and others. And you know, it was all about trying to bring awareness around, you know, epilepsy, but talking about the words like tenacity and courage and adversity and how you overcome those things that these guys that got up on stage and talked about. And the thing that was so probably the most rewarding beyond my daughter was 8 different people came up to me afterwards and said, thank you so much for bringing awareness, because nobody talks about this. And so in some small way, you know, they're looking for support groups and medicines. And we had a guy from the National Epilepsy Foundation board from Houston come out and talk. And, you know, so the whole thing came full circle from poor me, meaning
poor me,
right?
Victim me.
To victim me, to, you know, the empowerment that you felt when, you know, you realized these 3 moments through your marriage, what were you going to do about it? You're not going to protect yourself. This awakening from being in the mountains, from Mount Whitney, standing on the top and being up there with that stone house, you know, overlooking, right, the Sierras. It's amazing up there. And then the final piece of that puzzle is the spirituality that you came upon of really being calm and having that awakening, if that's the right word, from, you know, your empowerment and, you know, being the best possible version of yourself. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a lifelong journey, and it's a great one.
It is a great one. And I, and that's the whole thing, you know, I'm getting this quite a bit these days where people are coming up to me and they're going, well, Mark, you're on the last mountain. So then what? Right. And I mean, I'm just getting going. Right. Yeah. I mean, this is just like what this whole 7-year, 8-year thing has taught is just like, you know, there are 5 million things that I've not done. And like a couple, 1, 2, 3, granted, they're kind of cool, but that's what I've done. But look at all the things I haven't done. So, you know, so often we all get comfortable with coming home, sitting on the couch, turn on the TV, when life is just out there waiting for you to take it, run with it, and then go figure out what, you know, amazing things are out there for you.
Yeah. In fact, I'm in October, I am going on a solo journey to the Himalayas, where you are, where you're going, where you are now, actually.
Yeah, no. I mean. Hi.
I'm doing the 3 passes, and I'll be going through Everest Base Camp. And I'm scoping out a trip that I want to take my clients on. And the purpose, and we're not only going to do the 3 passes, but I'm going to also go to a silent meditation center for a couple of days. It's towards the end of the trip where you can really reflect and absorb all that your mind has opened to on the journey. So I'll be doing that on my own in the fall. Scoping it out and then offering it to clients. But the whole point of the trip is for participants to do exactly what you and I have been talking about, which is looking at their life and saying, okay, so what is all of this about? why is this happening and what am I to do with it? And my life has been in design for what's my call here? Mm-hmm. And for the people that are at that point in their life where they want to go deeper and look with greater clarity into what's possible for them in the future. So I'll call you when I get back and we'll swap notes about the Himalayas.
I love that. I love it. Listen, Sean, you're amazing. One of the things that I just want to go back quickly, because again, you've got some impressive climbs, Mont Blanc, Whitney, Aconcagua, Vincent, Kilimanjaro, Elbrus, Mount Rainier, my home state. You've got some impressive mountains on your resume, which is fantastic. And then through it all, you've gone off and become a life coach. And it sounds like a lot of the emphasis is around also helping parents who also have special needs kids.
Yes, like my soft spot where I feel the real call in my work is helping families transform the experience that they're having, if they're having a challenging experience. Many of us are. And we're also afraid to talk about that because we're afraid we'll be judged as bad parents. But also a lot of women who are going through transition and building sort of a second chapter, either as a new divorcee or an empty nester, they approach me as well for coaching. So I do that and I facilitate workshops. I also like to work with groups and then I'm a speaker. So,
well, in fact, I think you're going down to Ghana or someplace, right?
I will be speaking in Ghana in April at the second annual Pan-African Autism Congress. And yeah, I'm very excited about that. It's a 3-day scientific meeting and they, you know, it's most of the talks are empirically driven science talks. And they're dealing with a lot of stigma there. And I am going to go right for the jugular and talking about shame.
Yeah.
So wish me luck. That's my Everest coming up.
Yeah, I love that.
But I wish to do it with a great deal of grace. And I want people to open and let go of some of that shame if they can.
Yeah, I love that. And the reason why I love that is because at the end, going back to Amelia's Everest, the event I threw, at the very end, I had Amelia get up, my daughter, and I really just wanted her to say thank you. And that was it, and sit down. And she spoke for probably 2 minutes. And she got up there almost like somebody in AA or something. Hi, my name is Amelia Patterson, and I have epilepsy. And that was so hard for her to do because of the shame she has felt. And so I can totally connect and relate to what you're saying. And, you know, I don't have that. You don't have autism. And I can only imagine what that's like, you know, for people who either for them or for the parents around, because their kid's not normal. You know,
their kid isn't the perfect kid on the baseball team like yours is. I mean, yeah. That's the feeling we can have, or our family is broken, or really, truthfully, I am broken because I had a child who isn't perfect. There's a lot of crazy deep stuff that can go on in our minds and cause a lot of pain.
I know. So everybody get out in the mountains and clear it out, right?
Go walk, go hike, put your boots on. It cures everything.
So Sean, tell the planet where they can find you.
So I have a website, www.seanrichardsonglobal.com. I do life coaching. I can work with anyone anywhere in the world because I work on the phone. It's my preferred mode. And I will be, my next workshop is in San Diego, May 16th. You will find registration details on my website here soon. And then I'm speaking in Ghana in April, and stay tuned for my more offerings down the road.
Yeah, no, I love that. Look, you're on the right path. And
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, no, I do. I, you know, whenever I talk to somebody who's kind of come from, you know, from left field and they've gone to the other side and they're sitting there looking back and they have this thing called perspective. I think it just makes us deeper in the way that we communicate, in the way that we relate, and in the way that we go forward in life. And that in itself is an inspiration to other people. Because if you haven't had it, it's coming. And so stay tuned, right?
There's a paddle for every ass, as my uncle says.
Yeah, there sure is. And you know, you've gone through your wars and you certainly have come out on the other side. So I'm so happy for you. And, you know, we need more, you know, bright lights like you out in the world shining their way. and giving other people hope.
Thanks, Mark. I hope your climb is brilliant.
Well, So do I. And hopefully between coronavirus and everything else trying to meander, that I can survive all this and make all my dreams come true.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear all about it when you're back.
Yeah, thank you. Listen, we'll get caught up on a later date, but thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Thank you. Bye, Mark.
Thank you.
Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, nfl.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.